British Sky Broadcasting presents Big Mama's House 2, starring Martin Lawrence as Malcolm, Nia Long as Sherry, and Emily Proctor as Leah. The film's directed by John Whitesell. It's voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. Nighttime. In a modern whitewashed house, a slim middle-aged man in a dark dressing gown strides into a bedroom and picks up a mobile phone from the bedside table. A blonde woman's lying in the bed.
Hello?
At the harbour, a body is pushed off the jetty and into the water. A younger suited man has a mobile pressed to his ear and puts a gun into his jacket.
That leak we had has been fixed.
So now that we've dealt with the situation,
we can keep moving forward, right?
The older man appears anxious.
Yes, of course.
I thought so.
The blonde woman is leaning up in the bed.
What was that about?
Nothing. Go back to sleep.
Then a dark-haired man with a suit jacket and checked shirt steps up into a shady little room.
You gotta get out there. They're starting to get fidgety.
What are you so nervous about? I mean, you set this up, right? You vouched for us?
Yes, but you don't know them the way I do. If they think for one second you're not legit, they will turn on you. And God help you if that happens.
That's it. We can't risk it. I'm pulling the plug.
No. I never turned down an assignment, and I'm not gonna start now. Just tell me one thing. Have they had their snack?
A sympathetic-looking African-American man is dressed in a brown eagle costume.
No, just juice boxes.
Behind a curtain is a hall full of rowdy schoolchildren.
You gotta be kidding me. All right, okay.
And now let's give a great big Gold Coast Elementary School welcome to Goldie, the safety eagle.
I say the eagle in the house. I say the eagle. Pacquiao.
The man dressed as the eagle is on the school hall stage.
So what brings us here today, oh great safety eagle?
Yeah, well, I'm here to recruit some junior investigators. I'm not talking about investigating your parents. Although if your daddy got no job and wearing a $20,000 Rolex, give us a call.
Hey, Trent.
Watching television sure is fun.
That guy in the chicken suit. Isn't that your stepdad?
A young African-American boy turns and watches.
If safety eagle were to plug that in, he would get a nasty shock.
Damn demon kids.
Space heaters keep us warm in the winter. But they too can be very dangerous.
The man in the eagle suit trips and lands hard on the heater. As he sits on it, the tail feathers of his costume catch fire. He looks round.
What? Oh!
The suited compere looks round too as the eagle spins. The compere leaps at the burning eagle man and pulls him to the ground. Flat pieces of scenery collapse on top of them. The young boy appears embarrassed. The audience rise to their feet. The prostrate man in the eagle suit looks out and waves. Then in a convertible car...
Could you at least take it off that shaking suit?
First of all, it's an eagle suit. And unfortunately, I had no choice. The zipper melted. What's wrong with you anyway?
Ryan and the guys saw you.
So?
So it's embarrassing.
Ryan's dad sells shrimp out the trunk of his car. He's the one that should be embarrassed.
Yeah, well, at least he doesn't have to do it dressed like a chicken.
Eagle. I'm an eagle. An eagle's a majestic bird. It deserves respect.
The white car pulls into the drive of a modern wood-fronted house.
So those stories you used to tell me. The things you did, all those guys you put in jail. You gave it up for this?
No.
He looks towards the house and smiles.
I gave it up for her.
An attractive African-American woman with long dark hair and a pregnant bump approaches. The man steps out of the car, still wearing his big eagle feet.
Hi, baby! What happened to my little birdie?
Eagle too proud to talk about it.
Well, come on inside and let me take a look. Hi, honey. Oh, I almost forgot. The broker called today and upped the offer on the Porsche. Malcolm, with what he's offering, we can remodel the garage into a playroom and still have enough left over for a minivan.
Oh, now, a playroom's one thing, but I am not driving no minivan.
Well, where are we gonna put a baby in that Porsche?
It's got a trunk.
Malcolm, all the talks we had about having the baby and how it was going to change things, you promised me you were up for this.
Yeah, baby, but to be fair, you were naked when most of those promises were made. Look, I'm just kidding, okay? Look, I'm up for this.
totally and completely 100%.
Los Angeles FBI, Malcolm, now in a suit, is talking to his school hall companion.
She wants a minivan. Me driving a minivan, I ain't gonna be able to do it. Next thing you know, I'll be asking if I look fat in these jeans. This is my stuff?
He stares at a tall man who's showing a younger man round an office.
Kick me out of my office? Hell no, Crawford.
It was my call. Field agents have priority over PR.
You gotta be kidding me, Crawford.
Malcolm! Last night, Doug Hudson was killed in a line.
Malcolm frowns with shock.
Yeah.
The tall man walks away. Malcolm hangs his head thoughtfully. Then he catches up with his boss.
I want in.
Sure you do, but you're not a field agent anymore.
Reinstate me. You know what the man meant to me. He was my first partner. Hudson taught me everything I know about this job.
I know that. You think I don't know that? The Orange County office has jurisdiction. They already have their best people on it.
You know full well the best people for this is me.
Not anymore. The fact is, we don't need you, Malcolm.
They've entered a smart conference room where some people are seated at a long table. They look down embarrassed.
Look, you're gonna have a baby. You wanted a desk, we gave you one. Now, I know PR isn't exactly what you... You really set yourself on fire yesterday?
Well, actually, it was more of a controlled burn. The flames weren't that big.
Uh-huh. Go home. Be with your wife. Get your head on straight. I don't want to see you anywhere near this. And that's an order, Malcolm. I find you sniffing around, so help.
I heard you.
The man gives him a knowing look.
Let's get started, people.
The FBI man moves round the table. Malcolm puffs out wearily. Then he stares at a little web camera on top of a nearby computer monitor. He frowns, steps up to the camera, and swivels it round to face his boss. Then he stops in the doorway to his old office, carrying his box of clutter.
Hey, Erskine. Crawford wants you in there.
Really?
Yeah, really.
The young man gets up with a smile and leaves. Malcolm steps into the office and puts the box down on the desk. He shuts the door and sits in front of a computer. He types in list video links local and clicks on a result. An image of his boss in the conference room is shown.
The United States government operates the most sophisticated intelligence gathering operations in the world. A few months ago, we received anonymous intel that someone was designing a worm, a backdoor hack into that
system. So, terrorists, North Korea, whoever gets their hands on this worm will know everything we
know. NSA, CIA, DOD, all their databases will be an open book. Military intelligence, launch codes, they'll have access to everything we've got. Now, our chief suspect is Tom Fuller. As you can see, he spent a stint in the Army, military intelligence. He's now head of development of software at a company called National Agenda Software. Agent Doug Hudson was working undercover on Fuller's technical team. I guess he got too close. Now, we've ID'd the 10 most likely buyers, and we have them under full surveillance. The Orange County office is even sending one of their undercover field agents into Fuller's house as a nanny.
A nanny.
Now, we will coordinate all tech support from this office, and we'll give them all the bodies they need. Now, let's get to work, people.
Nanny.
Malcolm opens the doors to a bedroom wardrobe. He takes out a large brown latex face mask and stuffs it in a suitcase on the bed. He picks up an orange dress out of a box and puts it on top of the mask.
Honey, look what I picked out for the baby today. Isn't he cute?
Malcolm flips down the lid of his suitcase and tries to act natural.
Why are you packing, Malcolm?
Well, I'm just packing because, guess what?
Huh?
There's this convention, safety convention. Seasoned professionals sharing ideas, you know, think tank.
A think tank? Really? Well, who's going?
McGruff the crime dog.
Uh-huh.
Smokey the Bear gonna be there.
Wow.
Baby, all the heavy hitters. Now that I think about it, like, they all coming out.
So McGruff the crime dog and Goldie the safety eagle? Honey, this is great!
Well, it's not like we sharing no room or anything like that. I don't get out like that.
No, baby, I didn't mean it like that. I meant that I'm really proud of you. And I know you're working really hard to make this new job work. And I know that you're doing it for me and for Trent and for the baby. And for all the babies to come.
Sherry hugs Malcolm, who frowns.
Malcolm, I love you.
all the babies to come?
Yeah.
You want to give me a number?
Orange County, California. A surfer is riding a tall wave. There's a game of beach volleyball underway, and two guys in wetsuits carrying surfboards jog along the sand. Malcolm's driving down the seaside road in his white Porsche. Then Malcolm's transformation into Big Mama is in progress. Brown paint is applied to his legs. Eyebrows and lipstick are drawn onto the face mask. Stockings are put on, and a zipper is pulled up at the back of a red dress using a modified metal coat hanger. A light brown curly wig is put into place, and some comfortable beige shoes are slipped on. Outside the whitewashed modern house of the opening scene, there is a black transit van parked at the roadside. Inside the van...
You understand you need to get this job, right?
A primly dressed woman nods.
Right. Well, we don't have time to cover all the angles, but with this resume, you shouldn't have any trouble at all.
Peace cake.
Okay, go.
A suited young man punches the air.
Go get him. She is an excellent agent. Very professional.
Oh, Mrs. Gallagher, you're here. I'm sorry, I was so late.
Hi. They're here.
Can I talk to you for a second? I just want you to know that things are going to be different this time. I promise.
What? I don't know what you mean.
Look, I know that I am particular, but I am going to work on it. I'm going to be more flexible. Probably not about everything, but I think that there is some wiggle room in some areas, probably.
The uptight woman has long blonde hair.
Let's just jump right into the interviews.
Great, whatever you want.
I have three amazing candidates. Ladies, I'd like you to meet Mrs. Leah Fuller. Mrs. Fuller, this is...
Oh, run, run, run! Big Mama's in the house! Ooh, hello!
Oh, I'm sorry I'm late, but there was an incident on the bus.
Oh my gosh, are you okay?
Well, let's just say that's one pervert who won't be playing a flute no time soon. Ooh, give me a second, please. Ooh, got my pressure all up and my nerves going. Ooh, I said, shakala. Ooh, there, I sent it.
Who the hell is that?
Hey, Constance, give me a close-up.
Oh, hi. I'm Hattie Mae Pierce. But you could call me Big Mama. Everybody calls me Big Mama.
Miss Big Mama, I'm not sure how you found out about this job opening, but unfortunately...
Well, has the position been filled?
No.
Now, that's good equal opportunity. You should know I got Al Sharpton on speed dial. Need me to call? Want to make a call? Want to rally?
She shakes her head.
First, we have Petra. She studied art in Paris.
Oh, bonjour.
She speaks four languages and recently worked for one of Orange County's most respected families.
Unfortunately, they divorced.
Oh, child, that divorce wasn't your fault. So what if men like to look at you in your birthday suit?
Excuse me?
Well, the only way you get a tan like that is by laying out butt naked. Butterball naked.
Mrs. Fuller, I can...
No, it's all right that you want to be a nudist. Do your nudie thing, all right? It's okay. I'm sure Mrs. Fuller is not intimidated by a pair of perky D's.
Open-mouthed, the pretty woman storms off.
Where you going? Did I say something? Ooh... You don't need nobody like that around your husband anyway.
Okay. Our next candidate is Isabella. Isabella spent the last few years in the Peace Corps.
Wow. That explains it. You chasing a dragon?
What?
You firing the AK-AK gun? Child smoking a Sheba? I got two words. Roach clip. So you don't burn your fingers. Can you see that?
I should probably go.
Pass the doobie on the left-hand side. Pass the doobie on the...
Who is this woman?
Well, if anyone is beyond reproach, it's Constance.
Hello, Constance. It's awfully nice to meet you. Now, I assume you are completely ack-ack-free?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Of course. She has impeccable references. She even studied child psychology.
Ooh, that's impressive.
Well, children are my passion.
Oh.
Oh, really? Well, would you say that you're a follower of Boucher? Or do you side more with Crater's theory?
Crater. Definitely Crater.
Well, child, Crater's my butcher. And he can cook the hell out of a ham hock, but he don't know nothing about children. So what else are you lying about?
What?
Maybe you can forgive her lying ways, but I'm sure you don't want a nanny who's packing.
Packing?
It's a gun.
Oh, tell me this is not happening.
Shall we discuss compensation?
Big Mama's trying to get onto a stool.
Oh, Big Mama, I am so glad you came by. I mean, can you imagine if I had hired one of those other ladies? Oh, Big Mama, are you okay?
Oh, well, what a lovely stool. And so comfortable.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Fullers. I own my own marketing business, and my husband, Tom, is in the summer.
Big Mama falls off the stool.
Oh, my God, Big Mama, are you okay?
Excuse me. Maybe I'll just stand. So your husband's out on a new project. I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, well, do you want to know about the children?
Well, that depends. Will they be around a lot?
Well, they live here, so pretty much all the time.
Oh, well, in that case, Big Mama love taking care of the kids.
Oh, good.
Unless, of course, you think they'd be better off in a nice military academy.
No.
That's funny.
I will warn you, though, their schedules are pretty hectic, so I've come up with something to help you keep it straight.
There's a grid on the wall with names, times of the day, and days of the week on it. It's covered in different colored pegs.
Damn! How many kids you got?
I know. I have to remind myself sometimes that it's only three, but it's not as bad as it looks once you get used to the system. Okay, for example, sports are white pegs, music are yellow, tutoring is blue, and household chores are red.
Well, which peg says it's time for me to drink a 40 and watch Dr. Field?
You're funny. My husband Tom seems to think that I'm a little too obsessive about this, but you know, the world is changing, and I want my kids to be able to take advantage of it in every way.
Big Mama steps backwards.
Oh, rats! I'll handle it. All I need is a hammer and a mop.
Oh, that's actually our dog, Poncho. He hasn't really been himself lately. We had this other dog named Carla. She was Poncho's girlfriend, and she was out playing with a ball, and there was this, wood chipper.
Wood chipper?
Oh, he saw the whole thing. He blames himself. It's a tragedy, really. Anyway, let's go meet the children. First, we have Andrew. He's three.
The little boy leaps from the top of his bunk bed.
Oh, my goodness!
I know. He does that all day long, and you would think that he would get hurt, but he never seems to.
Boy, you are two kinds of crazy. You can't be throwing yourself around like that.
Oh, he doesn't speak at all. We've taken him to a bunch of specialists, and they all insist nothing's wrong, that he'll talk when he's ready. So until then...
Well, I hope he's wearing a cup.
The dark-haired boy shakes his head. Then a blonde girl is dancing energetically in her bedroom.
This is Carrie. She's our little cheerleader.
The girl continues dancing.
Hey, Carrie, I want to introduce you to someone. This is Big Mama. She's going to be our new nanny.
Hi. Mommy, can you please help me with my routine?
Oh, babe, you're doing great.
The girl swings her arms and legs and kicks over a white chest of drawers. She makes an apologetic face.
I get everything pointy out of the room.
Our eldest daughter, Molly, is going through a bit of a phase. Well, like this, for example. She never used to lock her door.
Well, I could bust it down if you want.
Oh, no, that's all right. A couple of months ago, she started hanging out with this new group of friends, including this boy, Chad, who, let's just say, would not be our favorite.
A dark-haired teenage girl looks Big Mama up and down sullenly. Her bedroom is a mess.
Damn!
Molly now prefers a
free-flow living environment.
Well, at some point, this flow backed up.
This is Big Mama. She's going to be our new nanny. Big Mama, this used to be Molly.
Molly, yes. Nice to... Did something die in here?
Molly casually turns her head.
Yeah, probably. Listen, Mama was studying, so if you guys could please go.
Anything to get rid of me.
Mom, you always do this. I swear to God, I was on my bed with my history book. I was studying.
Okay, I'm going to go. Bye.
Okay.
Big Mama wedges her foot in the door.
You weren't studying, and you weren't on that bed.
I totally was.
No, you were sitting at the computer. And your history book is over there by that nasty egg salad sandwich, which explains the smell. Watch it, girl. There's a new sheriff in town.
Big Mama blows her forefinger, winks, and turns.
Here we are.
This is my room? Oh, Big Mama done died and gone to the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. Okay, well, why don't you just settle in and we'll get started first thing in the morning.
All right.
I'm so happy you're here, Big Mama, and I know Mr. Fuller's gonna like you too.
Oh, he's gonna love me.
Let me know if you need anything.
Mrs. Fuller glides out of the room. Big Mama waves at her, then does a little victory dance, punching the air.
Yes! Time to go to work.
Nighttime. A mahogany door opens. Malcolm, now in a dark striped shirt, sticks his head round the door. Then he enters the shadowy study. He moves over to a desk, which he sits in front of, and turns on the lamp. He switches on a computer monitor and pulls a little USB memory stick out of his pocket, which he plugs into the computer's hard drive. He taps onto the keyboard. With a frown, he reaches into his trouser pocket and pulls out his mobile phone. The display says, "Incoming, Sherry." Malcolm winces. He flips open the phone.
Hey, baby.
I got worried when you didn't call. How's Phoenix?
Oh, Phoenix. The convention.
Well, what else did you think I was talking about? Why are you whispering, Malcolm?
Oh, no. We just doing a lot of safety chanting, baby. You know, stop, drop, and roll, you know.
That McGruff is a freak. Dog don't know when to quit. Baby,
this is kind of late. Maybe you should get some sleep.
Oh, I know. But I just needed to hear your voice. I miss you. Trent and I had dinner tonight, and I must have eaten something too spicy because the baby's been kicking.
Okay, baby, I love you too. Bye.
Sherry frowns. Malcolm unplugs the memory stick and switches off the lamp. Sherry, in light blue pajamas, sitting on her bed, puts the phone onto its cradle and thinks. She slowly gets off the bed and notices a cardboard box sticking out from under it. She kneels down and pulls it out. She opens the box, and with a confused look, she takes out an enormous pair of lacy green knickers. She makes a face of disgust. The next morning, Big Mama comes into the kitchen area wearing a flowery pink and white dress. Carrie is sitting at the central breakfast table.
Where's everybody?
Andrew leaps off the top of a kitchen cabinet.
Oh, climbing on cabinets is his latest accomplishment.
You okay, Andrew? Ooh, Mr. Fuller, so nice to meet you. I'm Hattie Mae Pierce, but you could call me Big Mom.
It's great to meet you. My wife has an early morning meeting and I am so late.
He moves away.
You leaving me alone with the kids? Mr. Fuller!
She makes an exasperated look.
Big Mama, I think Andrew just ate a Brillo pad.
The little boy sits by the sink cupboard.
Andrew, no! Well, that's one way to get your roughage.
There's a hen-shaped egg timer in front of Big Mama.
That means if we don't leave right now, we're gonna be late.
Why don't your daddy take you to school?
Daddy says he has an important job where important things happen, so he can't waste his time with our nonsense.
Molly! We gotta go!
But Big Mama, Mommy didn't get me any breakfast.
Breakfast?
Carrie nods.
Okay, Yeah, there you go. Ooh. Alrighty. Yes, indeedy. I got that. A hearty helping. All right.
He's poured some milk into a box of Lucky Charms and stuck a wooden spoon in it. Carrie shrugs and tucks in. Molly holds out a red note.
Like somebody got a note on the red peg.
Ooh, notes on red pegs are really important.
You kidding? This peg stuff is for real? She wants me to do all this?
It is your job, Sheriff.
Girl, you got a mean streak in you. And God don't like ugly. Now get in the car and take your sister with you. Give the dog a bath.
She looks down at the tiny brown dog in its basket. She pulls a large bottle of Chanel perfume out of her handbag and squirts it down onto the dog. Andrew wrinkles his nose. Give the dog a bath is crossed off the list. She enters the living room and looks out of the French windows at the gardener using a blower on some leaves. She puts Andrew on the sofa. The little boy is now wearing goggles as the fake nanny uses the blower to send newspapers flying around the room. A page sticks to Andrew's face. He pulls it off. The little dog is sent sliding backwards along the polished wooden floor by the force of the wind. Vacuum the living room is crossed off the list. Then in the utility room, Big Mama opens the doors to two washing machines which are full of dirty laundry. She turns and notices a large plastic waste bin behind her. She turns back to the piles of washing, then looks back at the bin. The clothes are stuffed into the bin. Then in the maternity shop, a young black woman is standing opposite Sherry holding up the giant green knickers.
You sure these aren't yours?
How big do you think I am?
I'm just playing.
But how in the hell did these get under your bed?
I don't know. But Malcolm would never cheat on me, especially not with... This is like 4 yards of lace.
Yeah, well, regardless, you can't just sit back and hope that nothing is going on. You gotta take action. For $100, I know somebody that'll bug his phone. No, absolutely not. I would never bug Malcolm's phone. I completely trust my husband.
Sherry, you are so naive. You married an FBI agent. I bet on your wedding night, he drugged you and embedded a tracking device in your ass.
I don't have a tracking device. Danielle, there's gotta be a perfectly logical explanation for these. A woman this big wearing a thong? That can't be comfortable.
She looks at the knickers.
Can it?
Big Mama, carrying Andrew, is pulling at the back of her dress.
Big Mama got to be careful. I lose control of this thong, it could disappear for days.
They enter the lobby of National Agenda Software.
Hi there. I'm Hattie Mae Pierce, but you could call me Big Mama. Everybody calls me Big Mama. You want to say hello, Andrew? This here is Tom Fuller's boy.
Fine. This is a secure facility, and I...
Andrew blows bubbles into the man's face.
Whoa. 911! Don't touch me. Please, you don't know me like that. You better ask somebody. Let me sit the baby down. I don't want to get him upset. Hold on.
I'm gonna have to wand you.
Wand me? Well, wand on. Find what you're looking for?
He holds the device in front of Big Mama's ample chest.
That's underwire. Yeah, you're keeping these fun bags off the floor as a full-time job. You want to see? I'll show you, yeah.
No,
it's all right. You can take you can a stop. Little peeky peek.
No, ma'am, you can
But
you
I'm
can
not
stop.
Responsible
you, no,
for the damage.
Just stop.
It might
please,
poke
please
your
stop.
Eyes out.
So don't unbutton.
Two security passes are handed to her.
18th floor.
Ooh, thank you. Ooh, all these guards and locked doors. This must be what it's like to get in one of Oprah's private parties.
Yeah. You know what, Miss Pierce? I'm afraid Mr. Fuller has a meeting in the conference room, and I'm not allowed to disturb him.
Okay, well, I'll just wait and...
Big Mama looks at a pair of high-tech brushed steel doors.
Ooh, we got a gusher. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is the last time I feed this boy pickle pig feet.
You're going to change his diaper right here.
Yes, but don't worry. I'll contain the seepage, okay? I just hope your hard drives are backed up.
Mr. Fuller has a bathroom in his office.
Big Mama enters the designer office. She puts Andrew down on a leather chair.
Okay, Andrew. That program's got to be hiding up in here somewhere.
She moves around a glass desk and looks down at a pad of paper and some documents. There's a remote control lying near the corner of the desk, which she picks up thoughtfully. She stares at a set of modern bookcases that run down the side of one wall.
A remote, but no TV.
She heads across the room and stands in front of the grey bookcases. She presses the remote, and the central bookcase slides upwards, revealing a high-tech secret room with three computer monitors set around a chair and a keyboard.
Open sesame.
Then, inside the Orange County FBI building...
We did an extensive check on Mr. Fuller and didn't find anything.
Basically, we've got a small army of agents working out there. And because Agent Stone blew a nanny interview, we got nothing. Look, we've got to get somebody on the inside. Or isn't there anybody close to Fuller that we can turn?
No. We have tried everybody who has any contact with anyone inside that house. We have exhausted the list.
Wait a minute. I know someone we haven't tried yet.
In the secret room, Big Mama looks at a monitor. Video conferencing images appear.
Because we're coming up on our deadline, and I need to know your status.
Ooh, look.
I need to know if you're ready.
There's your daddy.
Look, I wouldn't have flown out here if I wasn't ready. Now, where's my money?
Don't worry about the money. Where do we meet?
That's right. Give me something.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, West Hills Mall.
Where?
The surf shop, dude.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Someone in the building is logged onto our video conference.
You gotta be kidding me. You guys are amateurs, dude. I'm out of here.
What happened? Someone was watching. We better find out who that someone is.
Tom Fuller strides down a modern corridor. He puffs out his cheeks anxiously. The doors to his office open.
Coming through, excuse me. Coming through. Ooh. I cleaned up in there as much as possible. Ooh. Mr. Fuller. Andrew and I thought we'd come down and pay you a little visit. Ain't that right, Andrew?
The little boy nods bashfully.
Hi, son.
Ooh, well, we're working on that talking thing. Can you say Tupac?
He shakes his head.
Oh, he'll get it. He'll get it.
Tom, is there a problem? No, this is,
Hattie Mae Pierce. I take care of Tom Fuller's babies.
Tom.
Ooh, look at the time. Well, we gotta go. Oh, yes, there we go. Ooh, do me a favor, will you? Hold that for me.
As Big Mama walks away, the grey-suited henchman is left holding the nappy.
Get rid of that.
Then in the car...
Did you have a good time today? Big Mama's trying to fix this.
A van pulls up.
FBI?
A woman holds up an FBI badge.
Sorry, ma'am, I'm gonna have to ask you to step inside the van, please.
Two suited men lead Big Mama towards the van. The FBI woman looks down at Andrew in his car seat.
Don't push me. You don't know me. Monkey mouth. I'll kick you.
In the back of the surveillance van, Big Mama's faced with a suited man and woman. She makes a resigned expression.
Look, I can explain.
Miss Pierce, I am so sorry for the inconvenience. Can I get you anything?
The man waves his coffee cup.
Well, if this is about those butt-ball naked pictures of Billy D, you gotta understand, that's Billy. I just checked my email... There he was. I said, ooh, ooh. And all I could say within myself was, I got Billy, I got Billy, I got Billy.
No. No, I can assure you. Miss Pierce, the FBI is investigating Tom Fuller.
Mr. Fuller? Have mercy.
Yes, and since you seem to have such close access to the family, the fact is we could really use your help.
Well, what could Big Mama possibly? I get it. You want me to take him out?
No, no.
Yeah.
No, we just want you to keep an eye on him. Huh? You know, have you seen or heard anything out of the ordinary?
Wait. He seems to be getting outside help on that big project he's working on.
But what's really important is we need to find out who he's working with. Now, ma'am, do you think you could find out that information?
Well, my M.O. would be to stay close to the perps. That way I won't compromise the assets and I'll wait for the intel to fall in my hands.
Excuse me?
Well, I mean, you watch enough Kojak, you pick up a few things. Don't worry. Big Mama got this. I got it.
She gets up. The FBI officers look confused. Later, on a basketball court in a sports hall, a group of young teenage girls are in the middle of a dance lesson. There are two female dance instructors leading them. One is tall and ginger-haired, the other shorter with black hair. They do odd street dance-style moves, which the girls are having difficulty following. Big Mama enters the hall, pushing Andrew in the pram. They watch the group and make unappreciative faces.
Good Lord, help them all. Now, I know you got something to say to that.
Andrew looks round.
Nothing?
He shakes his head.
Well, we'll work on it.
Then Big Mama reaches into her bag and pulls out her mobile phone.
All right, from the top. Ready? Five, six.
Hey, you
you've reached Malcolm, Sherry, and Trent. We can't take your call, but leave a message and we'll get back with you.
Hey, Sherry. It's me, baby. You know, just thinking about you, wanna give you a call from Phoenix.
Carrie is knocked over by one of the other girls. She gets up and runs off.
Wait, Carrie! I gotta go.
Sherry picks up the phone. She presses the button on the answer machine.
Give you a call from Phoenix. Wait, Carrie!
Carrie?
I gotta go back.
Carrie's sitting behind some gym equipment. Big Mama approaches, pushing the pram. She sits down.
Carrie?
The young blonde girl is staring at the floor. Big Mama sighs thoughtfully. Carrie looks up.
You know, those girls got no room to talk. That ain't dancing. That's getting tasered by the police.
Hey, Mama, I don't care about that. It's just, I want to be good, you know? If I was good, then my dad would come watch me. Because then it wouldn't be nonsense and a waste of his time.
Child, you could dance like all those skinny girls on MTV. That wouldn't make your daddy stay home. Now, he loves you. He just has a hell of a fine way of showing it. Now, you could do this little cheerleading dance thing. I know you can. But you need to do it for yourself, not anybody else. Stand up. Let me show you something.
The little girl stands next to Big Mama.
Watch Big Mama. See? Rock with it, baby. Rock with it. Just feel it. Uh-oh, try to. All right. Ready now. To the right. You got to come right, baby. There you go. No, not your leg. Bring your hip. Bring your hip and then you dip. Hip, dip. Hip, dip. Here you go, Carrie. I said Carrie. Now rock with it. Rock with it, Carrie. Rock with it. Now dip, baby. Woo. Dip, 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 baby. Woo. There you go, Carrie. There you go, Carrie.
Woo. Girls, keep working. You look great. We'll be right back. Keep going.
Big Mama faces the dance instructors.
Can I help you?
You can dance.
So?
We suck.
Oh, come on, we're not that bad.
Lisa, are you kidding? We are flailing around like a couple of stroke victims.
Okay, so maybe we could use a little help with the dancing part, but I've got the stunts covered. I was a gymnast.
Look, we really need your help. We've got this competition coming up. You want the girls to go up on stage doing that?
Well, as scary as that is, I'm gonna have to pass.
But Big Mama.
Don't you Big Mama me?
Carrie makes a pleading face.
Now, I didn't cry during waiting to exhale, and I'm certainly not gonna fall for your puppy dog eyes. Now, this day is getting away from me. We got to go, Carrie.
The red-haired instructor takes Carrie by the arm.
What do you say we practice at your house tomorrow morning, Carrie?
Good idea.
Sherry stands with her hands on her hips in a dressing gown.
Carrie. I don't even know anyone.
She takes a few steps towards the phone, stops, and thinks. She picks up the receiver.
FBI, Los Angeles.
Cassie?
Sherry? Hey, girl, how you feeling?
Oh, large.
Then I bet it feels good having Malcolm home taking care of you.
Putting in for 2 weeks off to wait on you hand and foot.
I hope you know what kind of man you got there.
I'm starting to get the picture.
Outside the Fuller's house, Big Mama helps Carrie and Andrew out of the large car. A blonde head disappears behind the wall. With a concerned look, Big Mama walks through the gate and holds out her bag to the children.
Take your little brother in there for me. I'll be right there.
The fake nanny steps towards the bushes and pulls out a tall, blonde-haired boy with a grungy appearance.
What the hell you doing sneaking around in bushes?
You can't take...
Big Mama holds up his wallet.
Chad? 19? This girl up in here is 15. Boy, you must be stuck on stupid. This stops today.
Molly, wearing a black jacket, skirt and boots, skips furtively down the stairs. The large nanny comes in through the front door.
Oh, hey, Big Mama, I'm just gonna check the mail.
That package you ordered has just been sent back.
What? Oh, no, you've gotta be kidding me.
Molly, boys that age only want one thing, and it ain't meaningful conversation.
I don't have to listen to you.
Don't get snatched up. Now get upstairs and finish your homework. I got Mace.
Molly makes an exasperated face.
Ugh!
Mrs. Fuller approaches.
What is going on? Did you just threaten my daughter?
Oh, that's no threat. I do carry Mace.
Hey, Big Mama. I think we need to talk.
Good, I'd love to. How about 9 o'clock in the morning? That's when I watch Regis.
I don't think that it can wait. If you had checked the pegboard, you would have seen that Carrie had a violin lesson and Andrew had tutoring.
Tutoring? The boy's only 2 years old.
I want my children to be able to seize every opportunity that they can, and they might want to go to Harvard, and if they do, I want to make sure that that is a possibility.
Andrew is jumping off the cabinets, eating Brillo pads. He's not going to Harvard. You can get that out your head right now.
And besides, if you had noticed, there was quite a bit of housework for you to do.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Those red pegs, you might want to go easy on them, all right? Now, if you'll excuse me, Big Mama has an appointment.
Well, what about dinner?
I already ate, but thank you.
A red taxi pulls up outside the house. In a car park nearby, the dark-haired FBI man lifts his walkie-talkie.
Okay, this is Agent Keneally. Please advise, I just made BM in the back of a cab.
You did what in the back of the cab?
Big Mama! I saw Big Mama in the back of a cab, and now I'm going to get VD. Visual data! Never mind.
Keneally drives off in pursuit of the taxi, which makes a left turn down another suburban road.
This is where I need you to carry me. Make it snap.
Yes, ma'am.
Big Mama starts to fiddle with her dress around her chest area. The large taxi driver notices this and adjusts his rearview mirror with a surprised look.
You favor those eyes, I suggest you keep them on the road.
Yes, ma'am.
The driver takes another glance. He gets a slap.
On the road!
Yes, ma'am.
Then a geeky-looking man is repairing some electrical equipment.
Hello, Bob.
Sherry, you shouldn't even be back here.
Where is he?
How can I possibly know?
Oh, come on, Bob. He's got a locator. Every agent has one implanted in their phone.
That is a silly, outrageous... How did you know that?
Bob, I am 8.5 months pregnant. My feet are swollen and my back is killing me. I have peed 52 times today and you don't even want to know what's going on with my nipples.
Can I at least guess?
Bob, if you don't tell me where he is, right now.
She takes a deep breath. The dark-haired man types into a computer. A map of the west coast of the USA appears on the monitor and zooms in on a position. Sherry stares at it open-mouthed.
Agent location, West Hills Mall. Agent location, West
Thanks,
Hills
Bob.
Mall.
Thanks, Bob.
What's a good place to go surf now?
Oh,
you
know? Huntington Beach.
Really?
Beautiful.
Mr. Fuller approaches a spiky-haired blonde man.
Specific encrypted notation.
In the shopping mall, Malcolm is monitoring their conversation. He sets off in pursuit, but stops as he sees Sherry. He rushes away. Sherry turns and spots him. He heads round a corner. She marches off after him. She comes round the corner, but he isn't there. She starts to walk forward. An elderly man goes past on an electric mobility vehicle. Malcolm is crouching down on the other side of it.
Wife?
Malcolm nods.
Been there.
Sherry sighs. She now has her back to them. Malcolm rushes off. Then he's standing in a shop window between two lingerie mannequins looking through a lens at Fuller and the blonde man talking nearby. Sherry appears in the viewfinder looking shocked. Malcolm steps back frowning. He gives her a nervous look.
Sherry, baby.
Where is she?
Who?
Who's Carrie, Malcolm?
No.
Where is the Carrie girl?
Baby, you got that all.
Oh.
No.
Which one of you is Carrie?
Baby. Baby.
Sherry.
Is your name Carrie?
No, baby, that's not no Carrie. You got it all wrong.
Malcolm Turner. FBI. FBI? You're on a case? Malcolm, you promised.
You want to explain these?
It's the Big Mama fat suit.
You drag my Big Mama into this?
I don't drag no Big Mama into this.
No, just her breasts.
I don't think nobody's talking to you. Sherry!
Come, let her go. And we got something to talk about.
I got Bishop.
Where is he?
Right over. He's right over.
He points to outside the shop.
Wait, where at?
Let's go. Let's go. Knock it off.
Malcolm, what are these made of? Like a buckwheat husk?
This is him, right?
Yeah.
He's a hacker. Goes by the name of Bishop. He's about as good as they get. There's no question he could have pulled this off.
Are you sure you can find this guy, Bishop? Because right now, he's our only lead.
Well, he was checking out board shops. He's a surfer, all right? There's no way he'd come to Cali and not check out the waves. I'ma find him. I'm telling you, I'ma find him.
Agent Keneally stays with you the whole time. He's your new
you
partner.
You got to be kidding.
And Turner, you blow your cover and this worm gets out, you'll not only lose your job, go to jail. Oh, and do not blow your cover as Big Mama.
Morales, the FBI woman, storms out of the conference room. Nighttime. Back at the Fuller's house, Leah is waiting at the kitchen table.
Big Mama?
Big Mama stops, rolls her eyes, and with a look of resignation turns to the blonde-haired woman.
Mrs. Fuller, can we do this some other time?
She gets up.
No, we can't. I came home tonight, and you were nowhere to be found. The kids had not done their homework. I looked around, there were dirty dishes everywhere, and then I found this.
A bin bag full of clothes.
You threw our laundry in the garbage. Big Mama, you don't want to cook, you don't want to clean, and you obviously don't respect what I'm trying to do with my children.
You mean keep them so busy that they don't realize that you and your husband are never around?
Mrs. Fuller looks hurt.
Oh, I didn't mean to say that.
I want you out of the house first thing in the morning.
Mrs. Fuller! But Mrs. Fuller!
Big Mama turns one way, then the other, then flaps her arm in frustration. She walks away. Malcolm, in his regular clothes, stands in front of the pegboard of chores. He clears the little boy's toys off the sofa. He takes dirty plates off the table. He pulls a couple of pegs out of the chores notice board. He stands over the two washing machines that are now both mid-cycle. He takes another couple of red pegs out of the board. He clears more children's toys off a sideboard. He picks up and looks at a book entitled Dr. Spock's Baby and Child Care. The two washing machines are wobbling away as they spin. Malcolm climbs on top and lies across them. In the kitchen, he puts some dirty pans into the sink. Then the sink is clean and he's drying it with a tea towel. He moves a footstool across the rug and more pegs come off the board. The kitchen is now immaculately tidy. Malcolm wipes down the tabletops and leaves the room. Then he's sitting on the edge of a bed with his phone.
Hey, baby. Just wanted to leave you a message. Tell you I'm sorry I lied. And I love you. I hope you still want to hear that.
He bites his top lip thoughtfully, looks at his phone, then reaches over and turns the bedside lamp off. He lies back onto the bed.
Oh, this feels good.
It's 6 o'clock. Then the dog is watching a little TV next to his basket. Big Mama's in the kitchen.
Oh, Punch. That's no way for a dog to act. I got something for you.
She takes a bottle of tequila out of a cabinet.
This'll help you get over the wood chipper. All right. Here's a little sippy sip for you. Yeah. I'd have a drink with you, but I gotta go to work.
The little dog laps the liquid in its bowl.
Yeah. Go and get your tilt on, all right?
Mr. and Mrs. Fuller are coming down the stairs.
I know that you were busy. All I'm saying is that I could use a little bit of help this morning.
Use a little bit of help? Why did you fire her?
Because I had to. Anyway, I'm going to call Mrs. Gallagher first thing instead of back getting you.
There's a spectacular spread of food on the dining table.
Wow.
The muffins are fat-free, the eggs are free-range, and the bacon is extra crispy.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, it looks like something out of a magazine.
I just couldn't leave y'all with a bad taste in your mouth about Big Mama. But if there's nothing else...
She looks down ruefully.
I guess I'll be moving on.
She makes to leave. The dog comes sprinting out of the kitchen in a little Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, Big Mama even made Poncho happy!
What? That dog's higher than a Georgia pine.
I gotta run. Great spread, Big Mama.
Oh, Mr. Fuller. Oh, bye. I'll see you around. You're a good man, Mr. Fuller. You're a good man.
Great, Mama. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. It's so hard to say goodbye.
Who was that at the door this early?
Mom, don't you remember? Elsa and Emily's mom had to go to work.
Oh my gosh, are all those girls coming here today?
The front door opens and a large group of young girls rush into the hallway.
Look at them. I was at their last practice. I could stay and help. There's no trouble.
Big Mama stands in front of the group of girls.
Okay, we gotta work this out. I need a volunteer.
She turns around.
Mrs. Fuller.
Yes?
You can be my volunteer.
Oh, gosh, Big Mama, there are things that I'm doing today.
Well, this will only take a second. Little ladies, where do you think real dancing begins?
Carrie puts up her hand.
Your heart?
Well, good answer. But you don't dance with your heart. You dance with your butt. Now, let's try this again. What do we want, Mrs. Fuller?
More butt?
That's right. Try it with me. Sway with your butt. Groove with the butt. Now become one with the butt. Don't be afraid to touch it and become one with it. Yeah. All right. Woo, got butt moving all back there. I like that. All right. There you go, little lady. Now let's put some music on. All right?
Ooh. She bounces across the floor with elbows lifted up.
That's my jam. Ooh, there you go, Vincent. I like that. Grooving with it. Do your thing. Yes, right. Do your thing, Mrs. Fuller. Yes. Come on, Mrs. Fuller. Follow me.
They make a series of little punching movements.
Ooh, yes, indeed. Just like that. That's putting stank on. That's all that is. Ooh. Ooh, y'all wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Big Mama collapses.
Oh! Oh, Big Mama, these girls are having such a good time. Look at Carrie. She's always so quiet. She can't stop laughing.
Well, I always say, laughter is God's hand on a troubled world.
You know, Big Mama, I was hoping that we could mend our fences. I just wanted to say that I'm very sorry. I was wrong. And I was hoping you would please consider staying here.
Well, of course I will. Yes, sure enough. I love that.
Big Mama, the girls and I want to go over the dance again.
Ooh, give me a second, all right? Big Mama got to catch her breath.
Carrie returns to her group.
Okay, when we're done with this, I have the perfect place to take you.
A spa! Look at this!
Then a group of tall, attractive women strut through an elegant lobby.
Victoria's Secret models. They shoot the catalog in a studio right down the street. They'll usually parade around naked. I think about it too much, it can get a little depressing.
Some people just ruin it for everybody.
Mrs. Fuller heads off further into the building.
What time does the parading begin?
Then Mrs. Fuller leads Big Mama down a corridor, to the sides of which are a succession of narrow changing areas lined with lockers. The models are in their underwear, undressing. Big Mama purses her lips in disbelief, glancing round as she walks past the girls. She steps back towards them and waves. A dark-haired woman smiles back at her. Mrs. Fuller comes back and speaks to Big Mama, who waves again and follows Mrs. Fuller away.
I'll give you this robe, and you can just take off all your clothes and put this on. I think you'll be very comfortable. And then you just put your things in this locker, and there's nothing else in there but your things. And oh, there's my friend Crystal. Excuse me one second. Hey, Crystal!
Hello, hi. Trying to find my locker. Ooh, around here somewhere.
Big Mama rushes round into another changing area. She puts the green robe down on a bench and opens a locker door. A tall African-American woman wearing just a white bra and knickers spots her.
Excuse me, could you give me a hand, please, with my bra? I just got my nails done and I can't.
Big Mama looks shocked.
Here, it unhooks in the front, right here. Here, hold this up.
She pushes her boobs together. Big Mama's finger is quivering as she points at the woman's bra. The fake nanny retreats quickly. Then inside the spa, Big Mama appears wearing a green towel wrapped around her torso.
this is lovely. A room full of beautiful women in towels and mud.
Hey, everybody, this is Big Mama.
Hi.
Hi, Big Mama.
Oh, hello. Ooh, don't let me disturb you. Y'all just keep walking around naked and massaging each other in exotic oils or whatever. Ooh, a snack.
Sliced cucumber.
No. No, Big Mama, those are for your eyes. They're covered in eucalyptus sap.
Big Mama turns and frowns, pursing her lips. She starts to clear her throat. The cucumber slices end up in a mud bath in which an elegant woman is bathing.
Got it!
Oh, hey, listen, I was wondering, how about a massage?
A pretty girl stands by a massage table.
I would like you to work on my lower back here because sometimes Oh, my damn. No, I want the girl with the perky. The one with the perky. You ain't got to push me.
Oh.
Yes. I need you to get all in the crevices, all right? Work that lower back like I was telling you. Ooh.
You know, while we've got her here, we should get Big Mama's advice.
That is a great idea. Big Mama, you were married for a really long time. What was your secret?
Y'all want my advice? Well, all right. My advice to you lovely ladies on keeping a long-lasting, happy marriage is to give it up. That's right. Give it up morning, noon, and night. And twice on Saturday.
What?
I did. Shoot, before he went to work in a parking lot down at the Dairy Queen. Ooh, and one time I rocked his world at a Popeye's. Had him drooling on the biscuits. Oh, yeah. We got our shebangy bang on.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Big Mama frowns. Hot stones burn holes in the back of her latex body costume.
Ooh, that's hot. Oh, that's hot, hot, hot. Oh, no, that's damn hot. Hot. Oh, that's way too hot. Back burning. Back burning. Hot. Oh, Lord, back burning. Coming through.
Big Mama leaps into the mud bath. The surrounding ladies are splashed with mud. As Big Mama flounders, a portly masseuse looks smug. Back at the Fuller's house, the little dog is staring up at the bottle of tequila on the breakfast bar. Mrs. Fuller and Big Mama step into the hallway.
Thank you, Mrs. Fuller. I had a good time, except for those hot rocks. Now, Big Mama got some errands to run. I'll be back.
Oh, gosh, Big Mama, I've got to go to the office and the carpet cleaners are coming. I was hoping you could get the kids out of the house for a few hours.
But I got things I got...
Mrs. Fuller gives Big Mama a pleading look.
Who wants to go to the beach?
Then Molly, Carrie and Andrew are sitting on the sand. Andrew has his hands up to his face. They're all looking out at something.
Mom will never believe this.
Dressed in a yellow bathing suit, the large frame of Big Mama is standing near to the water's edge. She shakes herself as if she's just been in the sea. The children look on open-mouthed. Then, her hair braided with beads, Big Mama runs along the sand in slow motion. Her large bottom moves rhythmically as she bounces along. Her braided hair swinging around in front of her face, Big Mama falls to the ground, next to a dark-haired man in a pair of black swimming trunks who looks over at her. Big Mama pulls back her braids and frowns.
Damn, man, put on some drawers. This is a family beach, not Chippendales. What's wrong with you?
Big Mama gets up and rushes off. Nearby, there is a dark transit van with a logo for bait and tackle on the side of it. Inside, Agent Keneally sits in front of some surveillance equipment.
Eagle One, this is Hungry Like the Wolf. Come in, Eagle One.
Kevin! Kevin!
Yes, what? Copy, Eagle One.
Man, stop with the damn code names. He ain't out here.
Affirmative, stopping with the code names, Eagle One.
Ooh, hi, babies! Ooh, the water's so warm!
Big Mama, if you're done with your walk, Andrew's eating sand again.
You got something you want to say to Big Mama? Come on, talk for me. Can you say ocean?
Andrew tucks into a bucket of sand.
Why don't you take him down and get his feet wet, all right? Shoot, go play. Have a good time. Enjoy the beach. Get sand all in between your toes, everything. I don't care. Ooh! Let me cop a squat here.
Ooh! Ooh! I feel sexy.
I don't want to be here.
Really? But you look so comfortable.
Yeah, well, this is who I am, okay? So just get used to it.
Ooh. Well, it might be. It might be exactly who you are. Or maybe it's just something you're trying to be to impress some boy you got no business trying to impress.
Yeah, well, Chad loves me just like this. So whatever.
Chad, you're only 15 years old. Truth be told, you can't spell love. Now, that Chad boy, he's playing you.
What? No! You don't know anything about him.
Oh, really? Well, let's see. You probably met him out with a group of friends. He never said anything to you. He just stood in the back looking all mysterious. And he likes to call you late night because he says you're the last voice he wants to hear.
How did you know that?
Cha. The players change, but the game remains the same. And one day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize, Molly, that Big Mama got your back. Now, look, if you need me, I don't care when it is, day or night, you just call me, okay? And I'll come running, quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Agent Keneally is sitting in front of a monitor inside the van, looking at a view of the promenade. A blonde man is walking along it, carrying a surfboard. The FBI man opens the back door of the van and peers into some binoculars.
Malcolm, I got him.
Molly, why don't you take your brother and sister down to the concession stand and get him some ice cream? Big Mama got to stretch one more game, okay?
She leaps off her chair and sprints after the blonde man. She runs onto the promenade.
Don't make me run after you! I don't like chasing people!
A man heads past on a motorized scooter.
Give me that!
She pushes him off and gets onto it.
Move! Get out the way! Move!
Lord have mercy!
Police business! Get out the way!
The scooter's handle brushes past the backs of some bikini-clad girls. Big Mama ends up with a handful of bikini tops. She flings them away. The blonde man jumps down some steps. Big Mama flies into the air off the top step, then bumps down the next few. They continue the chase past a row of shops. The blonde man runs along a wooden walkway. He avoids the nanny's grasp and weaves into another public area. Big Mama narrowly avoids a pram, then crashes into a long table. She flies through the air and then slides along the table, sending food and plates in all directions. She ends up at the end of the table, but the Big Mama mask falls off. With a look of shock, the blonde man rushes off. Malcolm gives chase, holding his gun.
Stop! Right there, hold it right there! Freeze, FBI!
All right, Anthony Bishop, I got a warrant for your arrest.
FBI? What's with the... You know...
Hey, you're the one being chased. You don't get to ask the questions. Now get off the railing.
You don't know these guys. I roll over on them, they'll kill me.
Don't worry about it, I can help.
No, you can't!
Yes, I can. Now don't make me come up...
Anthony jumps off the end of the pier. He smashes onto the roof of a passing fishing boat and lies motionless amongst the nets on its deck. Malcolm looks down at the boat with a look of sadness. Then Big Mama is sitting on a bench in a children's play area. Agents Keneally and Morales approach her.
Listen, we did a full search. Bishop's hotel room, everything. There was no disc.
Damn.
We assume Bishop already delivered his disc, which means the two programs have merged and the worm is operational, ready for delivery. We gotta get into Fuller's office computer.
Okay, I got in once, I'll do it again.
The problem is, I mean, even if we did that, we're talking multiple levels of encryption. We can't hack that.
Way ahead of you, I'm bringing in an outside consultant. He can give you the password. You can use that to break into the system. My office will give you an address.
Oh, this here is a good read. It got a chapter in here that will blow your mind.
You're losing it.
Big Mama nods to herself. Andrew appears at the top of a wooden platform.
Andrew, don't you even think of...
The boy leaps down into a sandy play pit.
Harvard, here we come.
Then Sherry enters her house.
Brett! Mom!
She tosses her keys down and spots a pot of beautiful white orchids on a nearby table. She goes over to them and picks out a little card, which she reads, "Baby, I miss you. Love you, Malcolm." She folds the flap of the envelope down and smiles at the flowers. Meanwhile, in front of a large suburban house...
His name is Stuart Nybo. Computer Crimes Division nailed him hacking into a DOD system, and then they cut him a deal to come work for us.
They step up to the white front door. A dark-haired man opens the door.
Mr. Nabo, we're pretty anxious to get started. We'll brief you on the...
Stuart!
Then a geeky, curly-haired teenager comes to the door.
Yo.
Stuart?
Are you kidding? If I were that little nerd, I'd kill myself.
That's Stuart.
A chubby little boy.
Are we gonna be gone long? Because if so, I'll need to bring my retainer.
He bites into a biscuit.
Wait a minute. You're Stuart?
Duh.
The FBI men exchange glances.
This has gotta be some kind of mistake.
Yeah, right. The mistake was thinking that two morons like you can do the job in the first place. I'll be waiting in the car, and if you get lost on the way, it's the big metal thing with four wheels.
They watch him go with looks of resentment.
Did you bring the car seat? So, Malcolm, with this earpiece, we will hear everything that you hear. So you just get Fuller to talk, we'll feed everything into the computer, and then hopefully we'll come up with a password.
Most people are idiots and choose sappy passwords. You know, family crap. Hometowns, college stories, old girlfriends, old guy stuff.
Yeah. I never get them to open up in the house. Too many distractions.
Okay. Well, then you get them out of the house. You get them off their game. And then you take them to a place where Big Mama would be in control.
Malcolm thinks. He spots a newspaper next to him, within which there's an advert for Long Beach Bingo. Then at the bingo hall, bingo night is in full swing. Rows and rows of people sit at long tables holding large colored pens marking their numbered bingo grids. It's getting dark. Parked outside the building is a transit van with a logo for portable pooch grooming on the side. The Fuller family enters the bingo hall, followed by Big Mama, who waves.
B2!
Punters all stop and stare at the little blonde girl sheepishly holding her bingo grid.
Carrie, baby. No, you don't yell out bingo if you don't have it. Bingo people get a little testy.
She's just a child. It won't happen again.
The assembled crowd sit back in their seats. Outside, a man's walking his dog.
Come on, baby.
He stops and looks at the transit van. He picks up the little spaniel. Keneally and Anthony sit at computers.
Get it?
What do you mean? Keep it.
The door of the van slides open.
She needs a flea rinse, turbo dry. Oh, and can you shave her pads for me?
Keneally looks open-mouthed at the dog.
We're supposed to be dog groomers, you idiot.
Yes. She's in excellent hands, sir. You have a great day. Bye-bye now.
Okay.
A woman with a large white dog.
You've got to be kidding me.
Okay,
clip the nails, flush the ears, bye-bye.
In the bingo hall...
B-14. B-14.
Ask him where he was born, Malcolm.
Oh, so, Mr. Fuller, where did you say you were from?
G-55. Long Island.
Long Island, New York. Birthplace of Mariah Carey.
Long Island, try Long Island.
The screen display's password failed.
Nothing.
Oh, Malcolm, he went to Princeton. Get him to talk about that.
So I hear you was a Princeton Tiger. What activities were you in?
Shh! Did you mother?
All these people up in here screaming, and you gonna shush me? I should stomp a mud hole in your little bald head.
Hattie Mae Pitts. But you can call me Big Mama. Everybody call me Big Mama.
In 42.
Big Mama, do you even know this lady?
No.
Oh, you know me, Hattie Mae. You know me.
Uh-oh.
She knows you. I mean, she knows Big Mama.
Sure. As in, old friend? Uncle? Aunt?
I swore in the lives of my grandbabies that if I ever saw you again, I would beat you like a drum.
In 40.
How does she know Big Mama?
Malcolm, do not let her blow your cover. Do you hear me? I repeat, do not let her blow your cover.
Now, you want that beating here or out in the street? It don't make me no never mind. Come on.
Maybe you should go have a few more drinks.
You got something that belongs to me, Hattie Mae, and I want it back.
What does she want back?
I have no idea.
You stole my man.
Your man?
That's right, my man.
She stole a man. Big Mama stole your man?
Is that true, Big Mama?
Maybe, But I know I gave him back.
Claire. I never knew what Ben Raleigh saw in you anyway. You can't help it if you're ugly. But that don't mean you got to go out. And besides, you look like you packed on a few pounds over the years.
You don't watch your mouth when you're talking to me.
Ladies,
you don't know me. Please.
Would you take your seat over there, please?
Malcolm, listen to me.
You are not Big Mama, okay? You are a highly trained field operative, and you do not throw down with a 65-year-old woman.
That would be cool to watch, though.
You know what? My mama raised a lady.
Oh, no, she didn't. She raised a heifer.
Now what?
The lady punches Mr. Fuller.
No.
She takes another wild swing, which spins her around. She looks woozy.
Oh, no. I'm going down.
She keels over.
Oh, man.
The punters return to their bingo. Anthony speaks.
Big Mama. Big Mama.
Oh, he said Big Mama. His first words, and he said Big Mama.
Hey, the kid talked. Excellent.
I am so proud of you.
Stake out.
What'd you say?
Stake out.
What?
Investigate.
This is really not good.
Tuna.
Oh, my God, this is not good.
I see.
Oh, we don't want him to use up all his words on the first day.
Wait, Big Mama, I want to hear what he has to say. What'd you say?
The little boy looks round. Big Mama appears concerned. Keneally touches his headphones.
Bingo!
Bingo!
Yes! Yes, we're back in. We're back in.
Wow.
Big Mama watches Mr. Fuller.
Yeah, I'll be right down.
What? Tom, no, your son just spoke his first words. Tell your boss you can't come in.
You don't understand. I don't have a choice.
Well, fine. We're going to stay here and keep playing, though.
Suit yourself.
Malcolm, we still don't have the password. You've got to get it, and you got to get it now.
Mr. Fuller, wait. Can you carry me to prayer meeting? It's at that church right by your office.
Church by my office? Are you sure?
I think I know my own church.
No. Hey, we gotta follow in the van.
What are we gonna do about all these dogs?
I don't... Look, we'll bring them back in an hour. Just tie them down or something and let's go. Oh, God. Who's that? Who's that? Mona? Ooh. Mona, was that you?
Some cars head down a 3-lane carriageway. Big Mama sits in the passenger seat of an executive saloon.
Ooh. That's a nice family you got back there.
Yeah.
The reason I point it out because... I'm not sure you're around enough to notice.
Okay, I deserve that. My dad worked all the time, too. Hardly ever saw the man. I swore that I was going to be different, but it's easier than I thought.
What?
Working. I'm good at what I do. Real good. I know all the answers. Well, at least I used to.
Used to?
You think you have all the bases covered, that you're invulnerable. Then one day someone comes along who knows where to lean.
Big Mama frowns thoughtfully. The car stops outside a grand-looking temple.
Are you sure this is your church?
I know my own.
Groups of Hasidic Jewish men dressed all in black with beards and hats are gathered at the entrance.
Of course it is. I'm half Jewish. You got a problem with that? You anti-Semitic.
Hey, no, of course not. Everything's cool.
That's some nice bling you got on there.
Oh, it's a class ring. Oklahoma.
But I thought you said you went to Princeton.
It was my father's. For all that work, this is all that's left.
Big Mama thinks to herself.
Well, thanks for the ride.
She gets out of the car.
All right, bye-bye.
The car heads off.
Lakayim.
Keneally reaches into his jacket pocket.
Where you at?
Thank God, you're alive. Where?
I got it. Sooners.
What?
His dad, his ring. Just tell Stuart to try it.
Try Sooners. Sooners.
The password's accepted.
I'm in.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The password got us in the door and then the walls came down. It's like a booby trap. We're stuck.
How about the satellite?
That'll work.
Call Morales. Tell her we'll need tech support and a full tactical package. Pick me up on the way.
Where are you at?
I'm at Temple.
Big Mama holds up her phone.
Oh, Temple. Well, Shabbat Shalom.
He puts away his phone.
Let's go.
A number of large satellite dishes are pointing up into the night sky. Beneath them, armed guards are patrolling. Stuart is standing nearby working at a laptop. Streams of data pour across his monitor.
What's happening?
We've got access to all the agenda's security camera feeds. We're in.
Okay, where's Fuller?
He and Cassell are still in Fuller's office, but we're hooked into the building surveillance camera, so if he moves, we'll know about it.
Good.
Hey, Stuart! I thought you were some kind of genius! How long is this gonna take?
What do you think I'm trying to do here? Get free HBO? This stuff's hard! Give me some room.
He continues typing. Malcolm reaches for his mobile phone.
Hello?
Hey, Mama, is that you?
Oh, of course it is. Where are you?
Listen, I'm at this club called The Zone, and I'm really scared right now. Can you please come and help me?
Her phone's taken off her.
Molly?
What's wrong?
She's in some kind of trouble.
What? Who?
Wait, what are you doing?
I gotta go.
What the hell are you talking about?
Look, I promised that child that I would be there for her.
You're not going anywhere, and that's an order.
Well, that's an order I can't follow.
Turner, you are on thin ice. We are in the middle of this investigation. What do you care about some bratty teenager anyway?
Don't nobody mess with Big Mama's babies. Nobody.
He opens the door of a big black 4x4. Agent Morales looks nonplussed. The car moves off. Then inside a club called the Dark Zone, the dance floor is crammed with people. Big Mama emerges through the middle of the crowd. She looks around the club. A blonde dancer is gyrating up against her.
Excuse me, doll, but that's my leg, you humpy. Ooh, young people just so nasty.
Molly is sitting on a long sofa. A young man is leaning over her.
You want to back up off this girl? If I knock the taste out your mouth. Molly, what are you doing here anyway? This is not the way you were raised.
I know, but I got a text message from Chad. And he said to meet him here.
You know what? You and Chad are gonna run my blood pressure up.
Molly.
Hey, where have you been? I got really scared.
Molly, I came here as soon as you called. I swear I didn't send you a message. I mean, I've never even heard of this place.
What?
Wait a minute. If you didn't send a message, then who did?
Oh, wow. That guy works for my dad. What's he doing here?
Big Mama turns to her thoughtfully.
Molly, he's after you. Chad, I need you to run and get some help.
All right.
Molly, I gotta get you out of here as fast as possible. Come on, Molly. Excuse me, pardon me. Come through. All right.
The henchman reveals his gun.
Oh, God.
Another henchman presses his gun against Big Mama.
Is this what you do? Beat up on children and old ladies?
Oh.
Molly and Big Mama are tied up in the back of a transit van.
I don't understand. What's happening? What did I do?
Look, I'll explain everything to you later. But for right now, watch out. I'm rolling.
The van swerves around.
No. Oh. I can't feel my leg.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
No.
Big Mama rolls from one side of the van to the other.
Oh, God, this is not how I imagined my death.
They lie on their backs on the floor of the vehicle.
So get this, he's not really 19. Chad? It's a fake ID. He told me last night. He said he didn't want any more lies between us. Like his earring? Fake? The 3 months he said he spent in juvie, he was at math camp.
I guess people aren't always what you think they are.
Yeah, like you.
Me?
Yeah. I didn't think you'd turn out to be such a good friend.
Oh.
The vehicle stops inside a cluttered, shadowy garage area. Molly looks around the back of the van. Four henchmen move quickly away from the vehicle.
They're gone. Now I need your help. I got a blade in my girdle.
Wait, okay. You carry a gun and you keep a blade in your girdle? What's that about?
To protect my virtue.
Does it really need that much protecting?
Would you just get over here?
They wriggle to each other. Meanwhile, on a little wooden jetty, the kidnappers head towards Mr. Fuller, who's waiting at the end of it. The main henchman does a little bow.
That would be our buyer. Right on time. Since you never really bought into our little project, precautions had to be taken.
What do you mean?
We have your daughter, Molly.
Fuller looks round at the henchman.
bastard!
Big Mama and Molly burst out of the back doors of the van. Big Mama looks around the lockup and spots a jet ski. She gestures to Molly.
Call FBI. Ask for a woman by the name of Morales, okay? And stay on the line so they can trace the call. Go!
An oriental-looking gentleman hops off a speedboat and onto the jetty. A metal case is opened, revealing a single silver disc within it. The man puts the disc into a laptop he's opened up. Its screen says, loading, connecting, then full access granted. The man smiles.
Very nice.
Mr. Fuller sighs.
But we're not through, are we?
No, we're not. I'm afraid his contract had a no loose ends clause.
No, please, listen. Please, look, I promise, I won't say anything, I swear. I won't say anything.
What is that?
Big Mama comes speeding across the water on the jet ski.
Is that your nanny?
The main henchman shoots at Big Mama. The jet ski heads up a ramp and flies into the air. Big Mama lands on the henchman. The jet ski crashes into two other baddies. Fuller's business partner grabs the metal case.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. How'd you learn to do that?
I took a class at the YMCA. Look, let's go.
The Oriental man dives back into the speedboat.
That must be some Y!
In another part of the jetty, wooden pallets have been stacked up like columns. Fuller's business partner moves around them. Fuller and Big Mama head into the maze of pallets too. Two henchmen appear from behind one of the columns brandishing guns. They split up. Big Mama grabs Fuller and they hide behind a stack of the pallets. One of the baddies approaches. Big Mama appears from round the corner, disarms him and repeatedly punches him in the face, knocking him to the floor. The man gets up. Big Mama kicks him into one of the stacks, which collapses. Fuller grins.
Sorry. That was,
you just need to stay out of sight.
Yeah?
Stay out of sight!
Like a superhero, Big Mama leaps up the wall of wooden pallets and away. Fuller watches open-mouthed.
Wow. She's like the best nanny ever.
Another of the bad guys creeps down one of the dark pallet corridors, holding up his gun. Big Mama stands astride the wooden columns above him, brandishing a plank of wood. The gunman looks upwards, up Big Mama's skirt.
Oh my God.
He's struck in the face by the plank.
I knew that thong would come in handy.
The business partner rushes to a parked car nearby. He opens the door and looks up at Big Mama above him. He gets into the vehicle. The car reverses. Mr. Fuller looks on. Big Mama runs across the top of the pallet stacks alongside the dark car. Then she leaps down onto its roof. Her head is hanging down over the windscreen. The driver weaves the car around, then stops it abruptly. Big Mama's thrown off onto a large pile of plastic piping.
Big Mama, you okay?
The partner raises his gun.
Tom, no loose ends.
Big Mama dives in front of the bullet. Keneally appears and shoots the gunman.
That's Smith, Grady, with me. Let's go. Security area!
Big Mama.
Guns on the left. Up.
Stand back. I'm going to have to perform mouth-to-mouth.
Big Mama frowns.
The hell you are? What are you, crazy?
Big Mama takes off the face mask.
Whoa. Okay. This explains so much.
Malcolm holds out a bullet.
I believe this was meant for you. So you're, FBI.
Fuller looks at the bullet. Keneally helps Malcolm up.
Hey, before you guys get too comfortable over here, cuff him.
Whoa. They forced him to do it. They told him if he didn't do it, they'd kill his family.
So in your report?
I say he was an unwilling participant to the whole thing. So no charges should be filed.
No charges.
He nods. Morales thinks and nods too.
Okay. I guess I owe you that much.
All right.
Good job, Tom.
Thank you.
Keneally throws Morales her cuffs back and she walks away. Malcolm turns and smiles.
She said, good job.
Thank you. Thank you for standing up for me.
What makes you think... Look, I didn't do it for you, OK?
okay? I did it so your kids wouldn't spend the next 20 years talking to you through a prison phone.
I know. I know I've got a lot of ground to make up with them, and I swear I will.
Good.
They shake hands.
So, looks like we're gonna have to find ourselves a new nanny.
Well, not quite yet. I got one more promise to keep.
Mr. Fuller watches him walk away. Molly is looking around nearby.
Dad!
She rushes up to her father and embraces him. He kisses her on the head. Then the OC regional competition at the county sports center. Inside the hall, groups of girls in cheerleader-style costumes perform acrobatic group dance routines to a packed audience, which is in a raked seating area down one side of the hall. Carrie and her group are waiting next to the performance area.
I hope you girls are ready, because I came to see a show.
Big Mama, we got a problem. Miss Lisa was our base, and without a base, we can't do any stunts.
The dark-haired instructor is on crutches.
What did you do to yourself? Lord, well, no worries. No worries. We're going to turn it out. Come on.
And now, the junior cheer squad from the Newport District, let's give it up for Emerson!
The dance troupe all wear light blue and white outfits of vests and skirts. The routine begins as a mixture of choreographed routine and some acrobatics. Carrie is being held up over the heads of a few of the girls. Mr. and Mrs. Fuller wave in the audience. Three of the dancers move across the mats with a series of backflips. The dancing becomes more urban. There's more bum wiggling. Two of the girls stand on the shoulders of their colleagues. Big Mama, in the same light blue and white outfit, stands at the back of the display. She backflips and somersaults to the front of the group. The Fullers look shocked. Tom laughs and applauds. Big Mama leads the street dance moves. Big Mama gyrates and turns around on one leg. The audience are on their feet dancing. Big Mama stands in the middle of the dance troupe, who are joining in with the dance. Big Mama slaps her behind and looks round. Andrew seems to stand up in his pram. Big Mama skips round to the front of the group. Four of the girls are raised into the air in a human pyramid by the rest of the troupe. The audience are on their feet. Big Mama stretches out her arms to the group. Andrew is perching at the top of the pyramid. Big Mama frowns. Mrs. Fuller stands up.
What?
Andrew, no!
The boy leaps into the air. Big Mama crashes to the ground and catches him.
Hi, Big Mama.
Mr. Fuller puts a reassuring arm around his wife.
That was fun! Let's do it again.
Later, Molly picks up a handwritten letter in her kitchen.
It hurts me to leave without saying goodbye, but I best be moving on.
She shows it to her mother.
Though I kept it to myself, when I came to you, my heart was heavy.
The chores board is taken down.
It's a loud, noisy world we live in, and sometimes we lose our way. But if we're lucky, the good Lord sends someone to bring us home. Make no never mind about it. Loving people is hard work. And families, with all those lives mixing together, it gets kind of scary.
The Fullers read the letter on their sofa. Then a family car pulls into a driveway. Malcolm and his stepson get out. Sherry gets out of the other side, smiling. A little baby's in the car seat at the back.
But if we grab hold of each other and hold on, there's nothing more beautiful in the world. You angels are my heart, and I'll never forget you. And keep a lookout. You never know when Big Mama might be back.
Malcolm turns around in the doorway and smiles broadly at the camera. He's back home with his family. His convertible Porsche is still parked in front of the house. The end.
In Cali, I called her, she ain't answer. I tried to wine and dine her, take her out and romance her.
presto. Hit confesso. Grab a seat anywhere, that's the best role. Dope style klepto, premium petrol.
I called her, she ain't answer. I tried to wine and dine her. Take her out and romance her. I know she's sensitive. Her zodiac's a cancer. But when the lights go down,
don't let me be my private dancer.
She ain't answer. I tried the wine and dine her. Take her out and romance her. I know she's sensitive. A zodiac's a cancer. But when the lights go down,
she said, keep going.